Welcome to the OCR GCSE History Revision Podcast. I'm your tutor, and today we're diving deep into one of the most dramatic and complex topics on your specification, the making of America, 1789 to 1900. Whether you're revising for the first time or doing a final check before your exam, this episode will give you everything you need, the key events, the second order concepts, the exam technique, and a quick fire quiz at the end. Let's get started. So, what is this topic actually about? In just over a century, the United States transformed from a fragile collection of 13 states clinging to the eastern seaboard into a continental superpower stretching from the Atlantic to the Pacific. That transformation involved westward expansion, the near destruction of Native American cultures, a devastating civil war, and the birth of a modern industrial economy. OCR wants you to understand not just what happened, but why it happened, what the consequences were, and what changed and stayed the same across this period. Those are your second order concepts: causation, consequence, change, and continuity and significance, and they are absolutely central to every question you'll face. Let's start with expansion and the idea of manifest destiny. This phrase, coined by journalist John O'Sullivan in 1845, captured a belief held by many white Americans that it was God's will, literally their destiny, that the United States should expand across the entire continent. This wasn't just a vague feeling, it drove concrete political and military action. In 1803, President Thomas Jefferson purchased the Louisiana Territory from France for $15 million, roughly 3 cents per acre, doubling the size of the United States overnight. Then came the annexation of Texas in 1845, the Oregon Treaty with Britain in 1846, giving the U.S. the Pacific Northwest, and the Mexican Cession of 1848 following the Mexican-American War, which added California, Nevada, Utah, and parts of Arizona and New Mexico. By 1853, with the Gadsden Purchase, the continental United States had taken roughly its modern shape. Now, why does this matter for your exam? Because examiners want you to link manifest destiny to consequences. The expansion of U.S. territory directly caused conflict with Native Americans, fueled the debate over whether new states would be slave or free, and ultimately contributed to the causes of the Civil War. These things are connected, and the best candidates show those connections explicitly. Let's move on to the West and the Plains. When we talk about the Plains, we're talking about the vast grasslands stretching from the Mississippi River to the Rocky Mountains. Before the 1840s, most white Americans considered this the Great American Desert, uninhabitable, worthless. But the discovery of gold in California in 1848 sparked the gold rush, sending hundreds of thousands of migrants westward along the Oregon and California trails. The Homestead Act of 1862 was a game changer. It offered 160 acres of free land to any settler who would farm it for 5 years. By 1900, over 600,000 families had claimed homesteads. The Transcontinental Railroad, completed in 1869, made the journey west faster and safer, and brought cattle ranching and farming to the plains on an industrial scale. But here's the crucial point that many candidates miss. This expansion was catastrophic for the Plains Indians, the Lakota Sioux, the Cheyenne, the Comanche. These were not a single unified people. They had distinct cultures, languages, and ways of life built around the buffalo. The buffalo was central to Plains Indian life. It provided food, clothing, shelter, tools, and spiritual meaning. As white settlers moved west, they slaughtered the buffalo herds. By 1889, from an estimated 30 million buffalo, fewer than 1,000 remained. This was not accidental. It was a deliberate strategy to destroy the economic and cultural foundation of Plains Indian life. The U.S. government pursued a policy of forcing Plains Indians onto reservations, small, often barren parcels of land far from their traditional territories. The Fort Laramie Treaty of 1851 attempted to define boundaries, but it was repeatedly broken by the U.S. government when gold or land was discovered. The Sand Creek Massacre of 1864, where Colonel Chivington's troops killed around 150 Cheyenne and Arapaho, mostly women and children, showed the brutal reality of U.S. policy. The Great Sioux War of 1876 included the Battle of Little Bighorn, where Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse led Lakota and Cheyenne warriors to defeat General Custer and the 7th Cavalry, but this was a last victory. By 1890, the Wounded Knee Massacre, where U.S. troops killed around 250 Lakota Sioux, again mostly women and children, marked the effective end of armed resistance. The Dawes Act of 1887 attempted forced assimilation, breaking up communal tribal lands into individual allotments, destroying tribal structures, and opening millions of acres to white settlement. A critical exam point: do not treat all Native American groups as identical. The Cherokee in the Southeast had a very different experience from the Lakota Sioux on the Plains. The Cherokee developed a written language, a constitution, and a settled agricultural society. Yet they were forcibly removed from their lands in the Trail of Tears of 1838 to 1839, in which around 4,000 Cherokee died. That is a completely different story from the Plains Wars, and conflating them will cost you marks. Now let's talk about the Civil War. This is perhaps the most significant event in American history. The war lasted from 1861 to 1865 and killed approximately 620,000 soldiers, more Americans than died in both World Wars combined. But for your OCR exam, the key is not the battles, it's the causes and consequences. The fundamental cause was slavery. The Southern economy was built on enslaved labor. By 1860, there were approximately 4 million enslaved people in the United States, and cotton production generated enormous wealth for Southern planters. The Northern economy was industrializing rapidly and relied on free wage labor. These two economic systems were incompatible, and the question of whether slavery would be allowed to expand into new Western territories brought the tension to breaking point. The political trigger was the election of Abraham Lincoln in November 1860. Lincoln was a Republican who opposed the expansion of slavery into new territories. He won without a single Southern electoral vote. Within weeks, South Carolina seceded from the Union, followed by 10 more Southern states forming the Confederate States of America. The war began in April 1861 when Confederate forces fired on Fort Sumter in South Carolina. Lincoln's Emancipation Proclamation of January 1863 declared enslaved people in Confederate states to be free. This transformed the war's moral purpose. It was now explicitly a war to end slavery, and crucially prevented Britain and France from recognizing the Confederacy, since both had already abolished slavery. The Union's victory in April 1865 led to the 13th Amendment, abolishing slavery throughout the United States. The 14th Amendment in 1868 granted citizenship to formerly enslaved people, and the 15th Amendment in 1870 gave black men the right to vote. But, and this is vital for your exam, Reconstruction, the period of rebuilding the South after the war, largely failed. By the 1870s, Southern states were implementing black codes and later Jim Crow laws that effectively re-enslaved black Americans through legal segregation and disenfranchisement. The promise of the Civil War amendments was not fulfilled for nearly another century. Right, let's talk exam technique. OCR history has a specific structure you need to master. The summary question, question one, is worth 9 marks. Here is the single most important piece of advice I can give you. Do not write a narrative. I cannot stress this enough. Examiners see hundreds of answers that simply tell the story of what happened. That will get you level one at best. What you need to do is identify 3 distinct aspects, support each with specific evidence, and link each explicitly to the second order concept in the question. Think of it as 3 mini paragraphs, each with a point, evidence, and a link. That structure will push you into level 3. The why question, question 2, is typically worth 12 marks. Focus on 2 distinct reasons. Depth beats breadth every time. One well-explained cause with specific knowledge, names, dates, statistics, is worth far more than a list of 5 vague factors. Use connective language. This led to, as a result of, this was significant because, show the examiner how the cause connects to the outcome. The 18-mark essay is where you can really shine, but also where candidates most often lose marks. Spend 5 minutes planning before you write a single sentence. You need a balanced argument. That means acknowledging the strongest counterargument and explaining why your overall judgment still stands. Your conclusion must be a clinching judgment, not a summary of what you've already said, but a clear, reasoned verdict that resolves the debate. Common mistakes to avoid. Number 1. Confusing the chronology of the Plains Wars. Little Bighorn was 1876. Wounded Knee was 1890. Little Bighorn came before Wounded Knee. Getting this wrong in an exam is an instant credibility killer. Number 2, describing Civil War battles instead of analyzing causes and consequences. The examiner does not want to know what happened at Gettysburg. They want to know why the war happened and what its consequences were. Number 3, treating all Native Americans as one group. Cherokee, Lakota Sioux, Comanche, Cheyenne, these are distinct peoples with distinct histories. Use specific names. Number 4, writing a narrative for the summary question. Point, evidence, link, every time. Use specific terminology. Manifest destiny, total war, assimilation, reservation policy, reconstruction, emancipation. These terms signal to the examiner that you have genuine historical understanding, and they will earn you credit. Time for the quickfire quiz. I'll ask a question, give you a few seconds to think, then give the answer. Question 1. In what year was the Louisiana Purchase made, and from which country did the U.S. buy it? The answer is 1803 from France for $15 million. Question 2. What was the Homestead Act, and when was it passed? The Homestead Act of 1862 offered 160 acres of free land to settlers who would farm it for 5 years. Question 3. What battle in 1876 saw the defeat of General Custer? The Battle of Little Bighorn, where Lakota and Cheyenne warriors led by Sitting Bull and Crazy Horse defeated the 7th Cavalry. Question 4. Which amendment to the U.S. Constitution abolished slavery? The 13th Amendment, ratified in December 1865. Question 5. What was the Dawes Act of 1887? It broke up communal tribal lands into individual allotments, aiming to force assimilation of Native Americans and opening millions of acres to white settlement. Question 6. What phrase, coined in 1845, expressed the belief that American expansion across the continent was God's will? Manifest destiny, coined by journalist John O'Sullivan. How did you do? If you struggled with any of those, go back and review that section of your notes. Let's wrap up with the key takeaways. The making of America is a story of dramatic transformation from 13 coastal states to a continental superpower. But it is also a story of conflict, injustice, and contested identity. The expansion westward was driven by manifest destiny, but came at enormous cost to Native American peoples. The Civil War resolved the question of slavery constitutionally, but left the deeper questions of racial equality unresolved for generations. The Plains Wars ended with the near destruction of Native American cultures through violence, forced removal, and assimilation policies. For your exam, always think in second-order concepts. Ask yourself, what caused this? What were the consequences? What changed and what stayed the same? How significant was this event? If you can answer those questions with specific knowledge, names, dates, statistics, precise legislation, you will be writing at the top levels. Remember, point, evidence, link, specific knowledge, balanced argument, clinching conclusion. Good luck in your exam. You've got this. I'll see you in the next episode.